we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Age. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. Now, by tape recording, here's today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and we're going to read for our scripture today, verses 13 to 17. That's 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 17. John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death." These verses are part of the closing chapter of John's epistle. And in it he discusses several great facts. The first one is the assurance of salvation. The second is the confidence that we have in prayer. And the third is the sin unto death. Number one, the assurance of salvation, verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." There's a very interesting difference between the way John concluded his gospel and the way he concluded his first epistle. For in his gospel, in chapter 20 and verse 31, the apostle John says, "These are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye may have life through his name." You see, there were signs that Christ performed, recorded by John in his gospel, that bore witness to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. And John then says to those to whom he wrote his gospel that he's written these things that they might believe. Believe the truth set forth in the signs. There are seven of them prior to his resurrection, Christ's resurrection, and one other in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. Great signs of his Jesus' deity. And John says, "I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and believing him have life." Now, to those to whom he wrote in his first epistle, he says, "I've written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." These are believers now, that ye may what? That ye may know beyond any shadow of a doubt, you may have absolute assurance that you have eternal life. And not only that you may have assurance that you have eternal life, but that it might enable you to exercise more faith in the name of the Son of God. So faith to be increased. Assurance of salvation and the increase of faith is one of the great objects for the writing of this wonderful epistle. My friend, are you sure you're saved? It's a wonderful thing to have sins forgiven, to be born again, to be a child of God, to have a hope beyond the grave, and to have eternal life. But it's much more wonderful to be absolutely sure you do. Are you sure you're saved? If you're not, why not just get alone sometime right away with God and reflect on that fact and ask God to give you the assurance of salvation, that is, if you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like Fanny Crosby's great hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. What assurance! All right, these things have I written to you that believe, that ye may know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. John follows this by discussing confidence that we have in prayer, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. These two verses contain another promise, reference to praying according to the whatsoever line. There are some conditions that have to be met if you're going to have everything you ask for in prayer. And this constitutes one of those conditions. Now notice what it says. This is the confidence that we have in Him or concerning Him. This is the boldness. This is the liberty of speech. We don't come to God and stutter. We can come with confidence. That. Now, what is the confidence? If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. There's some things we can know are the will of God. There are other things maybe we do not know are the will of God when we pray. And when we know some things, for example, it's God's will to save sinners. And so we pray that God will save sinners. It's God's will that we be conformed to the image of Christ, those of us who are believers. Therefore, we can pray, God conform us to that image. There's some things that are not revealed in Scripture that can be the will of God, and we discover that in several ways. And if we ask anything in accord with His will, then what? He gives an attentive ear to our prayers. And if we know that He hears us, now He hears us, He gives attentive ear to our prayers, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have confidence when we pray. Come before the thrice holy God with that assurance that I'm going to come and ask according to His will. Now, there's some things I can just simply say, Lord, do this because I know it's His will. There are other things that I don't know, but I feel constrained to pray about, and then I must pray, Lord, I'd like for You to answer this prayer, and I'd like to have it answered in the affirmative, in the positive, to have it, my prayers heard and granted. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And so we have that confidence. We ask anything according to His will. Then what? We know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know we have those petitions that we desired of Him. It's a wonderful thing to be a prayer warrior. More battles are won on the knees in the Christian life than anywhere else. As we bow before Almighty God and prevail in prayer, meet the conditions that God has made for our prayers being answered, and arising from that place of prayer with full confidence that God has heard, God has answered, and God has revealed himself in the answer to our prayers. I'll never forget a number of years ago when I was pastor down in Louisiana, the man who was the director of our training union had a kinsman who had gone to sleep drunk and with a cigarette, and his bed caught on fire, and he contracted pneumonia as well as had awful burns. He was sent to the hospital in New Orleans, and I felt constrained to go by Mr. Roberts' home and pray with him for his kinsman. And he and his wife and my wife and I got down on our knees before God and besought God for the healing of this man. The next day I was in New Orleans at the hospital and went to see him, and the nurse said, "Something strange happened yesterday." I said, "What time?" She told me. "He passed his crisis. He began to get better. We thought he would never get well." You know what? I asked Mr. Roberts when we got up from our prayer. I said, "Mr. Roberts, do you believe that God has heard and is going to answer and grant our petition?" He says, "I do." All right? This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know beyond any shadow of doubt that we have the petitions that we desired unto him, of him. And then finally, verses 16 and 17, the apostle discusses a sin unto death. "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask," that is, he shall pray, "and he shall give him life. For them that sin unto death," that is, God, will answer that prayer and give raise that person who's not sinned unto death up from his sickbed. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So, there are sins unto death we're not to pray for. If a person has sinned a sin unto death, we're not to pray for that. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not unto death. Well, this is a difficult passage, isn't it? What is a sin unto death? Well, it's a sin a person can commit which will bring such a reproach on the testimony of the Lord might have to kill him. Ananias and Sapphira did in the book of Acts. Some of the people at the Corinthian church had sinned a sin unto death, the way they partook of the Lord's Supper, and so they fell asleep in death. Moses sinned a sin unto death. He struck the rock, and the result was he was not allowed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. We're not told what that sin is. It can also mean a sin which shall follow us all the way till we die, the consequences of which will, or we'll get forgiveness. But look, there is a sin not unto death, and we're to pray that God will raise that person up and forgive his sin. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved.
You've been listening to the Bible Institute of the Air with Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University. These studies from the book of 1 John were recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.